Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to a special edition of Consider This, an hour-long show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Of course, the biggest news of the day is the announcement of what the government calls the People-Centric Economic Stimulus, or the Prihatin Package. Joining us now to share with us the government's thinking behind introducing these measures, we have Malaysia's Finance Minister, Tengku Datuk Seri Zafrul Tengku Abdul Aziz. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. Now, this package has been touted as a 250 billion ringgit initiative, lauded by some as being huge and comprehensive. Now, can you help us disaggregate this figure, at least so we have a better understanding of how much of it would be actual disbursements?
Yeah. Well, thank you, Melissa, for having me on this show. As mentioned in the speech by our Prime Minister, the total stimulus package for the package Prihatin is about 250 billion ringgit. If we look at the breakdown of that 250 billion ringgit, 20 was actually announced earlier on 27th of February, so it's left with 230. So the thrust of this package, Prihatin, is one, is to focus on the people, and secondly, on the business, right? And people covers both P40 and M40. So people is about 128 billion ringgit money allocated for people, and another 100 billion ringgit for firms and businesses, another 2 billion ringgit more for the economy as a whole.
Okay.
So that's roughly the breakup of
Some of that is actually subsidies and payment deferments, right? Loan payment deferments. Hmm. So some numbers have been crunched, and it seems that about only 10% of the package, or about 25 billion, or some figures say 22 billion, is actual direct fiscal injection. Can you clarify?
Yes. So you're right. There are a mixture of liquidity being released into the market. There's guarantee as well. You know, for example, the big guarantee is or Dana Jamin, a 50 billion guarantee is given to SMEs and also the big companies. Fiscal injection is about, direct fiscal injection is about 25 billion ringgit. Yeah, so that's amount of money that is coming straight from the government to the people.
Several, the critics are saying that, in fact, that's not going to be quite enough, especially when that money is only going to stretch for the next 2 months. I mean, how do you address that? The idea that the 250 billion headline is much more mesmerizing than the actuality. Would you take exception to that criticism?
Well, if you look at this, this is an immediate or short-term stimulus plan, right? It is meant for 3 to 6 months, but you know, if you look at a lot of the initiatives, it is targeted towards that time frame, a time frame of 6 months. So it's never been, the intention has never been to look at this package for a, it's not a budget 2020. It is, after all, a stimulus package. So the focus and the time frame is 6 months. You look at all the incentives that are being given, it's also targeted towards towards for the people and for the relevant sector. Business sector, which is the SME.
Especially. Are we looking at a second phase of this, considering that we don't actually know the trajectory of the COVID crisis, the pandemic dimension of this crisis? Is that something that we should be expecting, the public should be expecting a second phase or a third phase?
No. Well, like I said, the term is about 6 months. Let's see what happens after that 6 months.
Can I come back to something you said? You said that this is a stimulus package, right? We should think of it as it's not a budget, it's a short-term stimulus package. Could I get you to clarify whether you see this as an actual stimulus package, therefore to spur aggregate demand, or rather more of a survival package to protect workers, employers, employees in the economy during this crisis?
Yeah, it's actually two-pronged, right? Firstly, you're right, it is like a survival package. You know, people are not able to do their jobs. There's always this fear of unemployment. Many of the measures that were announced today was focused on job preservation. So that's definitely one of the focus, the first prong. The second thrust is really to stimulate the economy. So that is why it is important that this fiscal stimulus targets this group that will spend, right? Because what we want is that people spend money to stimulate the economy. And therefore, we also announced that the government, and together with the other JLCs that we have a purview over, to make sure that they continue or even accelerate the capital expenditure. Just JLCs alone, the capital expenditure is estimated to be around 30 billion. And all the major projects that was announced, even in the budget 2020, should and will continue.
Could you help us understand some of the direct cash handouts that, in fact, your critics have been complimentary about and giving you credit for? Some of them only last will be rolled out in April and then in May. So what happens after that? The Mapias of the world, what happens to them after the May?
Makcik Kia.
So actually, for someone like Makcik Kia, right, will get a payment in April. She will also get a payment in May, and actually she will also get a payment in June, right? So this 3 months, so a payment of total of 2,600 ringgit, of which first payment and second payment is Bantuan Prihatin Nasional, and then we have the Bantuan Sara Hidup BSH will continue, that will also be given to someone like Makcik Kia. Sometime in June.
Okay, since we're talking about Makcik Kia, I also want to talk to you about some of the numbers. So in the Prime Minister's speech, he said that Makcik Kia will be saving 4,464 ringgit. Now, if we were to take a look at the direct disbursements, actually, Makcik Kia would only, and her direct savings, she would only be saving about 864 ringgit. Everything else, the car loan, the PTPTN loan, the microcredit loan, those are all loan payment deferments, which she will have to pay eventually. So she doesn't actually save, she just gets deferred. So she only saves about, almost about 860 ringgit.
Yeah. So she does save on the interest. As you know, many of the banks have announced that the interest will not be compounded, not be accrued. But if we look at this plan, right, it is to help the immediate situation, right? It is to ease the cash flow, right? I think at the end of the day, what is important is we get people like Makcik Kia and her husband and the son that just graduated to have food on the table, right? So cash flow, the liquidity of the cash flow of a household is very important. So that was the main focus. It was not so much to make money, right? It's for survival.
Right. Can we talk a little bit about the schemes that you have to make sure that jobs are not lost? Mm. One of them has businesses that can prove that they've actually lost income to get a subsidy in terms of wages. Now, does that, your critics again are saying that that's not be enough. Pakatan Harapan is suggesting 1,200 rather than 600. The question is, in that whole kind of initiative, is the foreign worker, who are significant in numbers in our economy, factored in? Will companies be able to claim on the basis of foreign workers employed?
Yeah. So if we look at the announcement of wage subsidy, we have done some work on this, albeit given a short time frame. We are looking at companies that have performed worse than 50%. Performance might have gone down by 50%. The subsidy given are for those employees with wage or salary below 4,000, and they'll get a 600. The reason why we use that 600 as a basis is because we have a minimum wage of 1,200, right? So that is 50% of that minimum wage. And that will cost the government around 5.9 billion ringgit. And this will have targeted internal number of employees, about 3.5 million employees, right? So we will see how that goes.
But I think this is a great program, the wage subsidy program, but I'm a little confused as to how it compares to the employment retention program. Can you clarify? Yes. Is it the same?
Yes. So employment retention program is for employees who are on unpaid leave. So as you have heard, there are various industries that are badly hit, one being the airline industry, that they have asked their staff to be on unpaid leave. So this scheme, which was announced earlier, but also part of this package, will allow the employer to keep the staff, and we will then subsidize the salary of that staff.
Right? Okay. So the ERP is a 6 months program, but the wage subsidy program is only for 3 months, yes?
For now, it's for 3 months, yes.
Could you help us understand? I understand it, as you've already suggested, it's taken, you've been given a very short amount of time to roll this out and in terms of doing the research and such. How will you monitor the effects of this package in order to tweak it as it goes along? I mean, do you have the capacity to do that kind of monitoring?
Yes. Yes, I think that's a very good question. It's something that the Prime Minister also mentioned in his speech. It's something that we at Ministry of Finance, of course, the government as well, thinks of very seriously. Execution is going to be key. A division or a unit called Laksana within the Ministry of Finance has been set up. We are going to not just monitor what's happening, but we are going to make sure that execution is done. Delivery is important. We have learned from the past that, you know, all the planning, you know, the success of any idea is all about the execution of that idea.
We definitely want to talk more about the delivery and the execution of this package. Also, how it will be funded. That's all coming up next on Consider This, so stay tuned.